Oh, Rabbi Isai, so we continue here in Shaar Avos Hashem, and really, before we get into the text, you have to remember that the, it's beyond help, we have to remember that making a bracha takya is a very powerful form of demonstrating Avos Hashem. And you know, we study a bracha a little bit, there's a good question, because the bracha always starts off, B'loshen Nochach, Baruch Atah, blessed are you, you, Hashem. So we're speaking directly to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, which is a great thing, that when you make a bracha, your mom is talking to Hashem as if he's, not as if he is, but as if we really feel it, that he's right here. Baruch ato Hashem. Panam upon him. I'm talking to Hashem like I'm looking at you. And then, just as we're feeling cozy and intimate with Hashem, you say, Elokeinu melech olam, shakol niyeh bidvaro. Our God, the King of the Universe, that everything was made by His word. That's third person already. Like this, I'm speaking second person directly. And then it goes to third person. Are you He? What happened? Where did God disappear to? In the middle of the bracha, God ran away from me. Here I'm making a bracha, God disappears. Good question. You have an answer? Think about it. It's a good question. So, the Rishonim already noted, this is not a new question. The Rishonim asked the question already. And they say, yes, every bracha is Lashon Nochach and Nistar. God is Nochach Mitzad Pulaisav. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is right in front of us based on his accomplishments. God accomplished lemon diet coke. That's one of God's great accomplishments in the world. That's not diet coking. He put in the brain of some fellow in Atlanta over there, the guy with the secret formula, that he should add a little lemon to the diet lemon, diet coke formula. Very good. Better than diet cherry coke. Very good. Chiddush from the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So God is right here. I see it. I taste it. What God does, it's right in front of me. So I say Baruch Atah, but then I realize that I am only addressing God in the disguise, so to speak, of a Diet Coke, a plastic cup of Diet Coke. But Mitzat Atzmuso, from the point of view of God's reality, God is Nister, God is hidden, and therefore I have to speak about God in the third person, and not in the second person. And therefore we end up the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro. And I must confess, when I was making a shakol on Rosh Hashanah morning, I really felt lonely. And the whole week, I've been feeling very bad about this. I just feel bad that, like, I feel the bracha starts off so gishmak, Baruch Atah, and ends off Hashem is Nister, He's out there somewhere. I feel a little alienated. So I realized then that is taka. The reason why in the Rosh Hashanah davening and in the Kiddush and throughout the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we had Udvorcha Emes V'Kayim Lo'ad. Udvorcha, and your word is Emes and Kayim lasts forever. On Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Mechuv, we come to Madrega that the Shakol Niyeh B'Dvoro, what was Dvoro, His word, the whole year it's His word, and Hashem is hidden. The source of His word, His mouth, so to speak, is over there in the hidden world, and I can't speak about it in second person. I tell you, it's Him. But during this period of year, it's Udvarcha Emes V'Kiyom Lad. Your dibur, I hear it, I see it, I feel it more intimately during this time. It's Emes. Mamash is Emes by me. It's a reality, and it's Kiyom Lad. It's an eternal reality. It's forever and ever. That's the part of the gift of the closeness of Dirshu Hashem Bimatzo, Kira'u Biyoso Karov, Seek Hashem when He's found, call out when He's near now, more than any time of the year. It's Dvorcha, not Dvoro. So, getting back to the Shar Avos Hashem, so the Chovetz Chovos here in Perek Dalet tells us, we touched upon this a few weeks ago, and we've had a hiatus since then. He says, you know, there are certain types of love of Hashem, certain demonstrations, which a person can accomplish, so to speak, on his own, without outstanding, without extraordinary siyata d'shmaya, and there are certain things which you must beg God for, certain levels of love that you have to ask Hashem for. And the Chavos Lvovos says the highest level of love of Hashem is total self-sacrifice. You know, sacrifice is the theme of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is when there was Akedas Yitzchak. It would seem that other religions are doing a better job than we are at teaching self-sacrifice. And Islamic Jihad is doing a great job that, you know, it's the greatest thing to go, what's it called, Shahid? Become a Shahid, I think it is. That's the fellow you blow yourself up. And for God, of course, it's all for Allah. For Allah Akbar. For Allah is the greatest. So you think a little bit, you get wondering, you know, you get to wonder, here the greatest level of Avos Hashem, as we'll see in a moment, is self-sacrifice, totally giving up our life. And the Chavos always says, to give up your life for Hashem, really, you can't do it on your own. You have to ask Hashem for help, because to give up your life, it's something you and I don't even think about very much. We should think about it every time we say, Shema, B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha. We say B'chol Nafshecha, we should think of Rabbi Akiva, whose yard side is Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva came to the Madrega on Yom Kippur, and Rabbi Akiva gave up his life through torture, gladly, smiling, laughing. And he says he was looking forward to it every day of his life when he said Kriya Shema. So we really should have that in mind during Kriya Shema. That's not asking too much. It's not, you don't have to be a big tzaddik, an outstanding special person for that. You can be a regular fellow like me and you and have that kavana when we say B'chol Nafshecha, Hashem, I gladly give my life for you, and I'd love to give my life for you, and I can't wait. And, you know, it's well known that the, what was this fellow's name? His name was Shlomo Molcho, was a sort of a semi-messianic person living in the 1500s, who, he wasn't the false Messiah, he wasn't Shabtai Tzvi, it's hard to say what he was, but it seems that he was maybe a little deluded, but he wanted the Mashiach very much, and he actually went to the Pope and said, you know, give us Eretz Yisrael, and we want the Mashiach. He didn't say he's the Mashiach, but he was doing like pre-Messianic work, and the Pope said, you want the Mashiach, I'll give you the order d'afei, and he was burnt at stake. And he died on Kiddush Hashem. But he wasn't a false Messiah, he was just trying to heighten Klal Yisrael and the Goyim's awareness of our need for Mashiach. And the legend, or has it, or perhaps it's, I don't know if it's history or legend, but the story has it, that Rav Yosef Cairo, the Shulchan Aruch, when he heard that this Rav Shlomo Molcho died, Al-Kilish Hashem, was burnt at the stake, because he was yearning for Hashem and for Eretz Yisrael and for the Mashiach. So he said, I wish I could die also, Al-Kilish Hashem. He envied him, his Kiddush Hashem. So real Jews, real Jews, Yamamish yearn to die, Al-Kilish Hashem. That's hard. That's really hard. Of course, they also say from Rav Yosef Cairo that It's harder to live al Kiddush Hashem than to die al Kiddush Hashem. So to live al Kiddush Hashem is even harder. That's the everyday struggle, to live a normal life with our bodies and our flesh. But be as it may, there's definitely, Rabbi Akiva wanted to die al Kiddush Hashem. That was his highest yearning. So we could do it, says the Chavos Lvovos, if we ask Hashem's help. To give away our money for God, for that you don't have to have great siyat d'shmaya. All you have to do is have Rabbi Fori come over to you and say, can you give me some tzedakah erev Yom Kippur? I'm making a collection for a poor family in Israel. I'll see you privately, Mitzvah Hashem. And that's it. You just take, whip out the Ben Franklin's from your wallet. And it's very easy. You don't have to invoke any special divine assistance to give me money for tzedakah. And even says the Chavos Lvovos, if it will be necessary for you to to have bodily pain for their Baruch Shalom, to go into a freezing mikveh for their Baruch Shalom, to go into a burning house and to pull out a little baby who might die, and you're going to make it singed, you're going to singe your body, and you might get injured. People could do that too, for the sake of Hashem. And Jews could be whipped for the sake of Hashem, without invoking special siyata d'shmaya. And Yidden could be whipped for, the eating kosher and get punished and go to jail and do everything. And that wouldn't require, that's not impossible to do on your own. He says the only thing that's impossible to do on your own is to give up your life. To give up your life you have to cry out to Hashem to help you, to give mak of your guf. Give up your life, that's very difficult. Now, he says, now you see, Haraya says the Chavad Levavas, it's Mamash and Yonah Diyayman, Avram Avinu. He said, my proof to you is Avram Avinu, because he loved Hashem with all three levels. He loved Hashem with all his money, no problem giving all his money away. He gave it all away to his guests. He would have had big Achnos Zarechim, he had a free hotel. So a few million dollars you want to get rid of real quick, open up a Glad Kosher hotel free. Unlimited stays, deluxe services, unlimited stays, and just... If you want to lose, you have a spare $50 million you want to go through real quick, open up a glatt kosher hotel and invite everybody to come with their families, unlimited stays. You'll get guaranteed to go through your running real quick. Well, Avram opened that up. What?
A groaning board.
It was fantastic. The cuisine was gewaltig. And it was gewaltig. He had no problem with that. And they even wash their feet free. You get a free foot wash. You get, with every fill up of your body, you get a free foot wash from Avraham Avinu. And you get personalized service from the owner. He's the maitre d' also. His son's the waiter. And he's the maitre d', no problem. And by Sodom, he gave it all away to Melech Sodom, no problem. And when it comes to giving up his body, to have physical pain, Avraham is 99 years old. And he says, Hashem says, Bris Mila. Awake, no anesthesia, Avram, wide awake at 99 years old, I want you to circumcise yourself. Avram doesn't flinch. But when it came to Akedas Yitzchak, this already Hashem considered to be a very big test. And we know the entire scene, how Hashem tells him, Kachno, Zbincha, Yechidcha, Yitzchak, the states of giving up a child is worse than killing yourself. So it's the same, we're talking about the same thing, sort of. Giving up a life. The life of Yitzhak was more precious to Avram than his own life. His own life he gave up a long time before that, actually. Interestingly enough, you have to think about that. It's not considered one of the 10 tests. You know what? That actually might be the answer to the question. Oh, good, good. We're getting someplace. That's the answer to all of our questions. So says the Chavis Lavavis, that the biggest thing was Akeas Yitzchak, that was to give his life away. And that, Hashem says, Hashem nisos Avram. You know, the other 9 tests doesn't say Hashem tested Avram. It was a test, but it was relatively easy. One of the 9 tests, the Bris Mila was a test also, by the way. I mean, it was a test. But it came without that much, relatively, it wasn't that hard. The only one where it says Hashem is testing him, when we have the whole story in great length, as a test, is Akeas Yitzchak. Because to give you life is very hard. So now, but again, back to the question. Little Arab kids do it all the time. They didn't learn Chavis Levavos. Little Abdul Karim Patachahui Hamalula blew himself up without a problem. Chamal's not with some more people too. So these characters, Meshugoyim, they do it all the time. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal? So what's the big deal about committing suicide and giving up your life for God if these Arab kids do it all the time? And the truth of the matter is that, well, the bonsai Japanese, those guys, the bonsais, the kamikazes. So they did it because they held Emperor Hirohito as the sun god. So they did it for their god. That was their religion. In their religion, Hirohito was a god. And for the sake of the Emperor of Japan, you have to give your life up. Kamikaze. And you smash into the deck of the Yorktown, and you blow up ships in the Battle of Midway, and all over the place. So what's this big deal? These Jews have a problem. It's a big deal to give up your life. Japs, Arabs do it all the time. So what's the pshat? The pshat is, I wouldn't know the pshat unless I heard this from my Rebbe, Rav Yifter Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We used to say from his Rebbe, Reb Mordechai Pergamansky. Listen to this very carefully. It's Taka Yom Kippur, Dik Vayter. After Avraham Avinu was about to slaughter his own son Yitzchak, Mala says, stop. Ato Yadati, Kirel Kimato, now I know you're God-fearing. Ashela Chasachta, right? I know you love me. Ashela Chasachta, as Bincha Yechidcha Mimeni, you did not hold back your one and only son from me. So he asks, why does the Malach say to Avram, I know you love me, speaking for God, I know you love me, you didn't hold back. You did not, lo chasachta, you didn't hold back your one and only son. He should say, Yan Asher Nosato, you gave your one and only son to me. Akadato, you tied him up. Halisa, you lifted him up to me. You did it. You offered him up as a sacrifice to me. So why does the Malach say, I know you're God-fearing. Lo chasachta, you didn't hold back. That Avram did more than that. He didn't stop not hold back, he gave. So he says exactly this. He says this divorce. He says, to give a child to God, well, we find in Tanakh that there was a service called Molech. And Molech is mamish, today's Arabs, that the fathers would say, I'm sacrificing my son, I'm going to burn my son in the fire for the god Molech. They did it all the time. And even Mesha, Melech Moab, the Navi speaks about Mesha, who was the king of Moab, a king, burnt his son for God. So giving a son to God is not the biggest thing in the world. The Moabites did it then, the Arabs do it now, and the Japanese, everywhere, they're doing it all the time. And in India, they burn people. The answer is that, honestly speaking, to these people, life didn't mean that very much. They didn't have a sug of what life is. To this king, his son was just a piece of chattel. And to the Arabs, for sure, the kid is just a way to get a bonus from Saddam Hussein, get $11,000, $15,000, $40,000 to build a new home. What's $40,000 to Saddam Hussein? It's bupkis. So for them, this is terrific. The money's worth more than the kid. The kid's a piece of garbage. They have loads of these kids running around the place. This kid means nothing to them. And even the Japanese might say a little more civilized. That's not the divorce is. There's nobody who has appreciation for life and what a child is, a Selim Alekim, more than a Yid and more than Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak was irreplaceable, it was incredible. Yitzchak is the whole Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak is everything. Yitzchak is the whole representation of what Avraham believed in his whole life, to spread the word of Hashem forever and ever. Ki be Yitzchak yikar lecha zera. Yitzchak is your seed, and every aspiration you have is a Yitzchak. So Yitzchak, both personally for Avraham, was, he knew the personal greatness of a Yitzchak. Yitzchak Avinu, what Yitzchak is and what Yitzchak is going to be. For that's why a Yid can give up his life. How can I give up my life? It's not that a Yid is scared. It's not that we're bigger cowards. The Arabs are brave and the Jews are cowards. The Jews are cowards. We're scaredy cats. We're cities. Look, the Arab kids, they're brave. They're macho. But the Jews are a bunch of wimps. The Japs, they're macho. We're a bunch of wimps. No. Nobody appreciates life as much as we do. We understand what life is all about, that we're in the Shama. Here's what we're in the Shama. And we know our potential to serve Hashem, and our potential to be, have more, to take a family and to go on for all generations. A Yid has a true appreciation of what he is, and we're so precious that we know really, Takya, we really know that we would serve God better, L'chayra, to live Al Kiddush Hashem than to die Al Kiddush Hashem. And God would really prefer, in ordinary circumstances, that we live Al Kiddush Hashem more than dying Al Kiddush Hashem. But there are times when God says, I prefer martyrdom. It's the question of sanctifying my name. There is a time and a place where I demand of you to give up your life for me, rather than worship idols, or commit murder, or incest, or other circumstances of Kiddush Hashem. But it's very far into the Jewish psyche, because by us think is to live El Kiddush Hashem, and therefore, it's harder for us to give up our lives or our children than the Arab. So therefore, the Malach says to Avram, he didn't hold back Yitzchak. The hard thing was, it was hard to hold him back. Understand, giving, Arabs can give also. Hashem didn't say, now you'll know you fear me because you gave me your son. Many religions give sons. The question is, what you didn't hold back. You hear the word, you didn't hold back for yourself this precious son. What you were holding back was something much more than they had to hold back. But this Mesha Melech Moab, what's this kid? Big deal, he has a harem with 100 wives. He has hundreds of little mamzerim like running around over there. He has no problem. Throw a kid to the Moloch. You know, you got plenty of little kids to throw to the Moloch. But you, it's the one Echad Miyuchad Yitzchak. You didn't hold him back. That was the godless. And now, Rabbi Yisai, now I understand. This is the answer. This chus of learning Erev Kippur, I think I have an answer to the Veltz Kasha. What's the Veltz Kasha? How come the fact that Avraham Avinu, now you know, Rav Kreiser at Zichron Levracha, he once saw that in his kapota with a stain. And he looks and he says, Treif, puzzle. Because, you know, Talmud Chacham has a revival big though. Talmud Chacham has a stain on his coat, it's a Chil Hashem. So, but I'm not Talmud Chacham, so I have no problem, but just, you should know for the record, so I can go around with this revival divided. You saw it happen. I'm not a Talmud Chacham. Rav Kreiser would say Treif, but I don't have this problem. It's from the cookies. I was bringing out the cookies. I got all this survey Klal Yisrael. This is a war wound. I'm a casualty of service. This is in a purple heart. The kids are. So the Belt Kash is, how come Avraham Avinu, giving up his life to be thrown into the furnace by Nimrod, is not counted as the first test? Nimrod said, Avraham, smash the idols or into the furnace? Avraham says, throw me into the furnace. Big test. So, L'chaira, why? That's not counted in the 10 tests. It is not. And number two, it's not even mentioned in the Torah. It's only alluded to in the word Ur Kazdin. He came from the fire of Kazdin. It means he came out of the fire. It's an illusion to Ur Kazdin. So how come this is a big thing? This is a great thing Avram did. Daniel getting thrown to the lions is mentioned in the Tanakh. It's an important thing. So why don't we have a mention of Avram's great sacrifice? But now the answer is apparent. Because really, at that point in Avram's life, it was still not a big deal. Why not? Because again, Goyim also give their lives up for what they believe in. It's only after Avram became his full self and had a full recognition and awareness of who he was and what he could accomplish in the Bnei Shalom, when he matured, that was considered a real full test. There's at this point in his life, when he was just starting on his journey to Hashem, we're not discounting as being nothing, giving his life, saying, I'd rather give my life than worship the idols. But that wasn't the full thing yet, because he was not Avram yet. He was just starting. He did not yet have that precious soul. He had not yet made his soul so precious by further avoid of Hashem, that giving it up would be a big sacrifice. If a person feels that his life is relatively cheap, a guy can give him his life, because why not? I want to do something. Everyone wants to do something significant in my life. So if I can serve the emperor by being a kamikaze, fine. Because what better thing can I do? And I'm not such a big deal anyway. I'm not doing such great things for the emperor otherwise. And what am I? I'm just a little nobody here working in the factory. So I might as well go ahead and smash my kamikaze plane into the aircraft carrier. So at this point in Avram's life, he was just starting. Some say he was 3 years old, some say he was 40 years old even. But it was just the beginning. He hadn't even begun his full understanding of Hashem. He had somewhat understanding, but it was not the beginning. So therefore, we don't want to count this as one of his 10 tests, because although it was a great thing, but relative to everything else he did, this was still insignificant, because he still didn't have that sense of his own preciousness and his value. Could be that's the answer. At any rate, the Chaivas of Abbas tells us that this is, he gives us a little bit more. He says, this is really the story of Eov. He says, the story of Job, Eov, is a very high madrega. Eov, what's the story of Eov? Eov, something most people never learned their whole life, the book of Job, Eov. The Satan comes to the Rabbi Shalom on Rosh Hashanah, by the way. The story takes place Rosh Hashanah. The Satan comes to the Rabbi Shalom Rosh Hashanah, and he says, Hachinam Yare Eov Elohim, Thank you. The son says, God says to the son, look around the world. Is there anybody better than Yov? He's the best. Vayhi Ayom, who's Rosh Hashanah. Hashem is judging the world, and Hashem is looking throughout the world. He says to the Sutton, who's always, Sutton's everywhere, he's all over the place. He's right here right now, by the way. Not just by me he's always, but he's by you too. He's by you. Sutton's all around. And he's in Shemayim also, talking to Hashem, one at the same time. He's ubiquitous. He's all over the place. So the Sutton says to Rabbi Shlomo Shemayim, Rosh Hashanah, Hashem says to the Sutton, take a peek at Eov. That's a man. That's my man, Eov. He is good. He's the Yirei Elokim. He's great. So I said, oh, really? He's not so great. Is he serving you? Is he fearing you for nothing? For free? You pay him well. He's on your payroll, God. Big deal. He's well paid, this Eov, because he's doing fine. His family's doing fine. He has flocks. He has sheep. He has herds. He has vineyards. He has beautiful children. He has wealth. He has health. He has stature, prestige, a beautiful wife. He has everything. And the Lashon comes over as he says, "Halo Iyov oevoscha v'yari mipanecha, rak kedei lasos b'zem mischar itcha." Iyov is doing, he's doing business with you. It's mischar. He's serving you mischar, Dick. It's a business. He's nice to you, and he davens, and he gets tzedakah, and you give him a great life. Of course he does it. It's a business. It's a two-way street. Big deal. You know the famous vort? Oh, my friend, this is a great vort. It was worth you coming just to develop the Kotzker's vort. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, the first 40 years of his life, he was like a bipragmatia, a businessman. Then, the next 40 years, he learned. So he was 80. And the last 40 years, till 120, he was Malam, he taught. And he became the Gadol HaDor. The Gemara divides his life into three segments. Pragmatia, Lomeid, Lalamed. In fact, the Kotzker, you think that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai in the first 40 years of his life didn't learn anything? What do you mean? He was like Rabbi Kiva, his Amorit. Rabbi Kiva didn't learn the first 40 years. What do you mean, Pragmatia? What do you mean, Pragmatia? Believing his kaveh, Kuntar Yom Velayla. Maybe he had a little business on the side. Maybe he called with his broker, you know, once or twice a year to go and put in a bid. But, what do you mean, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, you think what? The Eretz is up, the Kotzker, Yod, the Zichah Galan. Abed Galan, Pragmatia Dick. He learned like a Seicher. He learned like a businessman. Like the Chavis Lvova says, but Eov. Sure, he learned in the mitzvahs, but it's with like a business, you know. I'll do for you, you do for me. It's an exchange, you know, it's like a business. Al piderech ha-mischar, he says, Gvaldik, pragmatic. He learned Yom V'Layla, could be never call a stockbroker. Could be talking with Mamash and Kailo. He could be in Kailo and be a businessman. Because he's doing a business with Rav Shlomo. I'll learn, and God will take care of me. So chazvun, this, that's a nice life. It's a great life in Lakewood. You got Lakewood lately? Great life. Baruch Hashem, this to my land. It's the good world. I don't know what you're doing in the month here. Lakewood is the place to go. Beautiful houses, Baruch Hashem, vans. They even made an announcement last week that they're paying. They haven't paid the clothing line over a year. They're like $50 million behind. My children haven't gotten a check in the longest time. But the Rosh Yeshiva Makil gave a patch in the base medrash last week and said that I believe that Mr. Reichman from Toronto has undertaken to give a huge amount of money to the yeshiva, and they start to pay. They have 3,000 yungalai that haven't paid in a year. So Mr. Reichman, a smart man. Now that's a man, a mischad. That man knows how to do business. He bought himself, you know what, he comes to Shemayim 120. There's a whole Lakewood on his payroll. You know, when I went to Rav Shach, Zecharon Zechet Zadroch, about 12 years ago, I told you that story a million times, and he asked me, what's pshat? We say Kosfeno, Avinu Makan Kosfeno Vesever Zuchuyais. Hashem writes in the book of Zuchuyas. Of course Hashem writes down the Zuchuyas. So the truth is, the example, I'm never ashamed to tell the Reichmans, but he said to me, Sever Zuchuyas means real special Zuchuyas. He says, can you imagine the Reichman that there was Zuchuyas that year or the year before, the Reichmans were doing, they were still very, very high, and they mamish, they had someone go to Tzisrael, and they paid the deficit, the shortfall of every single yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Can you imagine? That someone give out like $150 million?
And that was just a drop in the bucket. $150 million before they dropped it in the bucket in Canary Wharf. I'm just saying this is hearsay. I mean, that he did it for sure. Exactly the number that I know. They went around to every yeshiva. They got the, what's your budget? And what's your shortfall of this year? And they paid everything. $150 million. That's pretty good. $150 million. Actually, I'm surprised it was even that much. But whatever it is, that's what happened. So he said, that's chuyos. That's, you have to have big schus to do such a thing. That's a rangachap. That's prakamacha. That's going to do good business. Asaga. Have asaga. To support Gantz Torah's Eretz Yisrael for years. It's unbelievable. The kids are, I'm laughing all the way to the bank. They're thinking just that I was zeichet. That we have this little koil here at night. The viewing a light learning. And I was zeichet to call it on the name of my father. Ateres Shlomo. My father, I was walking home. Shabbos, oh, Shemaya, say to Mr. Foyer, look, there's a little koil there, Monty, in your name. There's a six-year light learning for an hour and a half a night. And it's in your name. Wow, Gvaltik. And I'm so happy. I really am. I'm so proud. I'm so happy that I could add the names of my father. Such a schuss. Can you imagine holding out a whole yeshiva, holding out all the yeshivas in one city, holding out all the yeshivas in God there. It's unbelievable. The Zachias, all the Torah. Psh, unbelievable. The kids are, but getting back over here, but with the Rabbanu Shalom, we're not supposed to serve Hashem Mischadik. I'll give you Hashem, I'll give you some mitzvahs, you give me back money. We don't make, it's not a barter system with the Rabbanu Shalom. The Avoidas Hashem, says the Chavad Avavas, and I'll have to wrap it up over here, is that the Avoid of Ahava, with the Shara Avid, that it's total surrender to Hashem. Hashem, I don't want anything back, I don't need anything back, and I serve you, I have total love. It's the biggest privilege to serve you, Hashem. It's my privilege to live my life for you, it's a privilege to die for you. Hashem, I give my life for you gladly, nothing in return. And that's what's going on in Eo, says the Chavad Avavas. The son says, he's just serving you for wealth. So the Sultan says, okay. As Hashem says, son, okay, take it all away. And the Sultan kills all of Eo's children, destroys his crops, destroys his vineyards, destroys his cattle, destroys his sheep. Brigands, robbers, vandals come and steal everything he has, burn down his house, everything is dead, everything is gone. And what does Eo say? Nothing changed. Nothing changed. Yachso Shaliyah Hashem Loyashtana. Not only on the outside doesn't he complain, doesn't even krecht, but even on the inside, he says his famous words, Arom yotza simi bet animi, I left my mother's womb naked, I was born naked, Loram Osho Sham, I'll return to the grave naked, Adonoi nosan, Vadonoi lakach, Yehi shame, Adonoi mevoirach, God has given and God takes. May the name of the good Lord be blessed forever and ever. It makes no difference to me. Because my essence you can't take away. I am not my children. I'm not my fields. I'm not my sheep. I'm not my money. I'm not my portfolio. I'm not my house. I am what I am. I am my neshama. I am a chelek alakami mal. Hashem nos, Hashem lokach, Yishem, Hashem avarech. Because I am not all that. That's not all me. That's not going to go with me anyway. I am my neshama, I am my inside, and that's all that goes with me forever. You can't take it anyway. Now that's a great man. That's real. He says many people would glad to give up their, he says many people give their money and their wives and their children in order to protect themselves. So the Sultan really wasn't finished yet, by the way. You'll be very eloquent, but you know, you lost your wife, you lost your children, you look at everything, how about, but you're still healthy. So Hashem says, okay, go for it. And the Sultan now makes Eo suffer with every skin disease in the world and every sickness in the world. And his body is screaming from pain. And inside he's suffering and hurting. Outside he's suffering and hurting. Every possible pain, every kind of malady in the world is afflicted upon Eo. And so the Sultan says, big deal, he took everything away from him. But he's still healthy, though. It's gone. Actually, his wife is still alive. And his wife is upset with him for being so close to God still. And he says to his wife is questioning God, where is God? And he says to her, Kedaber achas hanavolos to daberi. You're talking like some degenerate. Harak hagames atov nekabel v'sara lo nekabel. Shall we only accept from God the good and not the bad? I accept everything. Hein yikdaleni, even if God kills me, lo ayachel. Famous words. Hein yikdaleni, may he even kill me, I still put all my hope and faith in God. Lo, ayachel. Hashem is mine. I belong to Hashem. And Hashem said, oh, this is a good man. This is real truth. This is emes. He's emes a person. He knows that we learn Sav Hashem not al pi derech hamischer. We don't serve Hashem because He gives us good health. And if He doesn't give us good health, and even if we're dying, rachmon lezlan, in our deathbeds of a horrible sickness, mizolish kipif there, and we shouldn't be tried, but it happens all too often to those Hashem who Hashem loves. It happens all too often. Hashem says, well, I'm going to prove that these people love me not for exchange, not for barter, not prakmachadik. And these people are the ones who, even in suffering physical pain, mamish, their life is ebbing out. Their life is mamish, it's leaving them. They still, I love Hashem, I love Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, V'haftas, Adonai Lehecha, V'chol Levavka, V'chol Nafshu, V'chol Modecha. This is true Avas Hashem. So this is what the Chavos Vav tells us here in Perek Dalet. And these are things that are very good preparation for Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is Akedas Yitzchak. Yom Kippur is about Avas Hashem. The only way to Lila Hashem sincerely is this way, not with an exchange. I'm certainly very far from this. Very far. Very, very far. Very, very far. I'm afraid the thought of I like living with the Prakmacha way. Actually, I'm holding in the first. I'm holding in Rabbi Yechem Zakai's way. I like the first 40 years. I really should want more, but you have to be a great person to want more. I don't know. I'll regret my lack of. See, Rabbi Kiva said, I don't want Prakmacha. I want to go for the top. I want suffering. I want to do it all. I want the best, and he's basking in his divine reward. But I don't know. I'm not ready for this. I don't know. I'm chalpish by them. But it's good to know that it exists. Maybe I'll daven. You know what? The Chavos Vav says, you're right, Rabbi Foyer. On your own, you'll never even begin to want that kind of stuff. What you have to do is, says the Chavos Vav, you have to daven to Hashem that you should want that. You should want it, and it should happen. Because normal people don't want it. I'm normal. Baruch Hashem, I just got a certificate from my chief psychiatrist in Shemayim with a capital P. The rabbi says, Rabbi, you are normal. Normal people want a normal life, a healthy, happy, successful, prosperous life. You're okay, you're normal. But if you want to love me to the highest level, you have to daven to me that you should be able to surrender your wealth and your health and your, I don't even say it, everything, your life for me. I say the word life before saying family. I have to do that too. But that only comes as a gift from Hashem. If I'm not looking for advice, that's not going to happen. If Rabbi Akiva was looking b'chol nafshecha his whole life, you can be sure that Avram Avinu was davening for the same thing his whole life. You can be sure that Avram really was davening to Hashem, Hashem, I gladly give my life to you. I tried it once. You stopped me from going into the furnace. Actually, you threw me in the furnace, and I got out alive. Hashem, try it again. Dump me in the furnace. I'm ready to do everything for you, Hashem. And therefore, when Hashem actually tested him with Yitzchak, Avram didn't say boo. Hashem says, isn't this what you wanted? Avraham says, sure, no problem. I always wanted this. Great, thank you for the birthday present. Shkoyach. Avraham thanked Hashem. He said, great, my prayer's answered. I said, Hashem, I give anything to you. Hashem says, ben chayachid chashav liyasiyotzak. Give him to me. Avraham didn't flinch. He gave it to Rav Ashna. But he davened for it first. Had he not asked for this kind of stuff, it wouldn't have happened. It wasn't such a big surprise to Avraham. That case, it wasn't such a shock. He said, I'll give everything for God. And Hashem said, okay, here it is. Here we go. Let's okay, Avram, let's go. Down for it. So, this is levels that perhaps we could even dream about. On Yom Kippur, they should help us. Chusadon Chavos Levavis. We should be zayche, that our hearts should be purified and get closer and filled with love with the Rebbe Shalom, Yom Kippur, and the Gantz Yar. So,